Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Russia and the West have faced off on energy supplies. Now, Vladimir Putin wants to limit agricultural exports from Ukraine. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. At an economic forum in Vladivostok, a port city in the far east of Russia, the country's president, Vladimir Putin, on Wednesday, alleged grain exports from Ukraine are not going to the world's poorest countries, but benefiting Europe instead. While shipments have been bound for countries including Ireland, Germany, and Spain, tens of thousands of tons are on their way to other destinations. On Wednesday, grain transported by the World Food Program is set to arrive in Ethiopia, where it will head to the crisis-hit region of Tigray, where millions of people are struggling with a lack of food due to an ongoing civil war. Yemen is also due to receive more than 37,000 tons, and officials hope other shipments will soon follow. But President Putin said the developing world has been, quote, cheated by the export deal, and he wants to now limit the countries that can receive deliveries. From Moscow, the BBC's Steve Rosenberg explains why the Russian leader now wants to rewrite the trade rules.
What we heard today was the world, according to Vladimir Putin, an alternative reality kind of world, where Russia has done nothing wrong and where all the problems are being created by Western nations. He maintained that Russia was doing its best, as far as grain was concerned, to help the poorest developing nations, and that it was the bad EU which was letting the side down. And this was his argument through everything.
In his main speech, President Putin said the West is failing and that Asia is the future. And in fact, if you look at the physical location of where he is today, it's just across the water from Japan and China. It's right on the border of the Korean Peninsula. He's obviously cut off gas flows to Europe today, saying there's now a deal to sell supplies to China. How lucrative will that deal be for Russia at a time when Western sanctions should be biting?
Well, I think it depends on the price. The price he's going to sell the gas at. Vladimir Putin maintains that, well, if Europe doesn't want to buy our gas, our energy, we'll find other markets. And he mentioned China as a major market for Russian energy. But it's going to take time, right, to reorient the Russian energy markets from the West to the East. This isn't going to happen overnight. And despite his bluster and his bravado and his claims that, well, you know, we're going to be fine, whatever, that Europe's going to be in trouble. There's no doubt, I think, that the Western sanctions against Russian energy and the fact that Russia is losing Europe as a major market, that is going to have an impact on the Russian economy.
And speaking of the economy, President Putin also claimed that inflation is stabilizing, there is historically low unemployment, there's business optimism. Steve, can you just give us a sense of what it's like right now inside the country on the ground, how people are feeling?
Well, if I go outside the office right now and I look around me, the traffic's moving down the roads, shops are open, there are cafes open. But look a little closer and you can see that so many of the shops, the Western brands, the international brands, have shut up shop, have left the Russian market. So some of the Moscow shopping centres are looking pretty empty. Spare parts for cars have zoomed up in price. They're very expensive now. Bit by bit, week by week, the problems build up for the Russian economy. And even though, yes, President Putin's right, the economy hasn't collapsed, and economists here forecast a smaller recession than had been forecast a few months ago. But despite that, I think the concern amongst many economists here is that actually Russia will get left behind.
The BBC's Steve Rosenberg for us in Moscow. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Checking the numbers now, the Pan-European Stock 600 Index is down about 0.5% at this hour. Mining shares are leading those declines after data from China showed both imports and exports slowed in August. That's thanks to rising global inflation and strict COVID restrictions inside China. Meanwhile, London's FTSE 100 is down about 0.7%, while the pound is slightly lower. Prime Minister Liz Truss has chaired her first cabinet meeting this morning. They've discussed details of a long-awaited plan to help with soaring energy prices here, which will be unveiled to Parliament tomorrow. Meanwhile, later today, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen will make a statement of her own on energy solutions. No further details, though, have yet been released. The heaviest rains in nearly a quarter century have pounded the southern Indian state of Karnataka. It's home to the country's high-tech industry, which has found itself essentially underwater without power in many places and crippled by worries of further disruptions as forecasts predict more heavy rains until Friday. The BBC's Imran Qureshi is in the hard-hit city Bengaluru, known as India's Silicon Valley.
The water has receded in very large parts of what is called as the Outer Ring Road. Where you have this 500 to 600 IT companies, and you know, there are about 10% of the total number of IT and IT-enabled service companies in Bangalore. The worst damage has happened probably on 3rd of September, when Bangalore received rains considered to be 8 times more than the normal rainfall. This has not happened in the last 40 years.
We're talking about damage to infrastructure in this ring road area to these tech companies. You know, we've seen photos on social media of water rushing through the lower levels of many buildings. That's certainly going to be something weighing on many companies' minds. But flooding this time of year isn't unexpected, but it has brought into sharp focus this year the need for better infrastructure. Is there a sense that improvements will be made, that something really does need to change now?
Well, there's no choice for both the government to improve infrastructure, and as well as the companies, as well as the citizens, to get involved with it. I have been talking to a few of the people who are connected with this industry and who are basically urban planners who have contributed to the industry in different ways. And one of them told us yesterday that the local community, at the community level, people need to get together and decide how the drainage system is going to function. But what has happened actually in Bangalore is that the lakes, you know, which are drying up, those are the areas where water has found its own level. And that is the biggest problem that Bangalore is facing. This is something which is calling for very immediate short midterm arrangements, as well as very, very long-term view to sustain the growth of the industry, as well as the growth of the cities.
The BBC's Imran Qureshi for us in Bengaluru. Thank you so much for your time.
Welcome.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.